We Talk Podcast presents
What it is! What it do? Welcome to Yes Fall with your host, Joshua Adam, yes, Arbuthnot, and the one, the only, ultimate babyface, Joel, yes, Johnson.
How's it going?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's the whole podcast.
Yes. It's just yes. So, I don't know which direction this pod's going to go all in, but the main brunt of it is going to be talking about Bryan Danielson. I'm not calling him Daniel Bryan anymore. His name is Bryan Danielson. We may say Daniel Bryan once or twice, but this podcast is about Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, that had to be one of the realest moments in WWE in quite some time.
I will say I got more emotional with Edge, maybe because I didn't see it coming, and I think I was more attached to Edge.
Yeah. But it definitely, like, even seeing that Meltzer was tweeting out that this is gonna be a rough ride. I think that speaks volumes. Like, I think the Edge thing really caught people off guard.
Yeah, I will say, greedily, it's a relief for us because of emails. If you're a wrestling journalist, let's say, and you just get every single week, Joel. Since we've switched over to Stick Boy, when we were still doing it with just on the Fresh Take podcast, every week, at least once, it was Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
What's going on? He got cleared by UCLA doctor. He got cleared by the Arizona Cardinals doctor. It was always like, oh, well, this person cleared him and this person cleared him. But it turns out, now we know he went to the WWE again, and they said, I'm sorry, there's just more wrong with your brain. We don't know exactly who he went with.
No.
But it was enough for him to know that I'm indeed have to hang my boots up at only 34 years old.
Yeah, like, and I think this biggest thing, especially now with the O.J. Simpson versus the People on FX, Johnny Manziel's going spiraling out of control, and players retiring left and right in the NFL, this concussion, CTE, is becoming a very real thing that isn't something that we can just kind of bat an eye and tell him on.
It's so crazy, though. 10 years ago, he's wrestling right now. 10 years ago. I could say probably even 5 years ago, he's probably still wrestling.
No, I think things start
It's pretty close around five. There's a possibility.
Yeah, there's definitely that possibility. But now, everything is so different. And I really, really, really hope that Bryan Danielson stays retired. Like this.
I'm going to say this. I don't think he will. I think he will wrestle again one day. I don't think we've seen his last match ever. When will it happen in the next year? No, but in the next 5 years, I say he has one more match. Not with WWE, but I believe he'll have one more match. We didn't think Flair would have another match.
I didn't think that. I had a feeling that, like, because he just kept coming back time after time. I was like, there's no... The Bryan thing, the biggest thing that kind of makes me think this is the end, and what better way to go out than winning the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania? Because that was really his last...
I believe his last match was against Luke Harper. Well, his last match, I think, was on SmackDown against Luke Harper, I believe.
Yeah. His last match was Luke Harper.
Who dropped him on his head.
Yeah. And that spiraled. But
I've seen a few people online, like, blame Luke Harper. I'm like, this guy had three concussions in the first 5 months of his career. So, Luke Harper didn't do anything. No, if anything, it was a diving headbutt, which we'll get to in a second, but continue.
I really think, like, just the way he kind of talked, he didn't say he was retiring from WWE. He said he was retiring from wrestling.
Yeah, I know he said that. I still don't think... I think in 5 years, we're going to see him wrestle again.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it's an ROH, New Japan, or Evolve with Gabe Spokane.
Again, I don't think it's going to be in a year, and I don't even know if it's going to be in 2 years. But to say he, at 34 years old, will never do it ever again, I have a very hard time seeing that.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you. I think the biggest thing for me is I hope he doesn't. I hope he, like, life just continues to
Well,
get.
here's the next question for you. So we don't know when his W, I believe his WWE contract has 2 or 3 more years on it.
Yeah.
Will he join in the world of mixed martial arts? Because
No.
he has training in that.
I don't think so. I don't think that's like when he was talking, he had one passion.
Oh, I know, but maybe he has another passion. He's been trained in mixed martial arts more than, say, CM Punk has.
I just wouldn't want to see that. Just especially if he said his brain's not okay. That would make any promoter that put him in that octagon look really irresponsible. And that's the biggest thing. That's my biggest thing with the Daniel Bryan comment saying maybe my brain wasn't as okay as I thought it was. Anyone that books him in a match, books him in a UFC fight, books him in a bar fight, it doesn't matter what it is, looks irresponsible because there is medical records that his brain's not as good as what a normal person that hasn't taken the bumps and the bruises.
Yeah, totally get that. And I think, concussions are a very serious issue. We've had discussions about this and how, like, even with football, I would never let my kids play football ever because of what brain damage can be. It's a very serious matter that, like I said, when I play basketball, and obviously it's not as much of a contact sport as hockey is or even amateur or professional wrestling, but I hit my head on the floor and I had a pretty decent concussion and I was sent back out to play. And it's pretty crazy that, like I said, just a few years ago, that was the case. And if that was still the case then, you wonder how many people in that WWE ring in the NFL would have left the game early, left the ring early. I think one of them would have been a Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I don't think Benoit would have wrestled nearly as long as, and I think that takes us to our next topic, because
That damn diving headbutt.
Harley Race it regrets it. Like you heard him go on the record and say that was one of the, he wished he'd never invented that move.
And I think credit to Botchamania because they're the ones that labeled it. So Harley Race had to have an early retirement because of it as well. Not as early as these other guys, but he had to leave a little earlier. Harley did. Dynamite Kid's in a freaking wheelchair.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit, well, everyone knows that story. We don't need to go into details
Nope.
of that. And now Daniel Bryan's retired at 34 years old.
Yeah.
In a sport where most of his peers go to about their late 40s.
Yeah, like AJ's still going.
Kane and Undertaker are still going.
Yeah, they're still alive. And that's the crazy. Mick Foley's still walking. But it's that diving head, but I don't know what it is with that move that
Well,
really
I
just.
do.
What is it?
Number one, you are hitting your head. You may not be hitting it on skull to skull, but your head is still taking trauma constantly.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, the neck has to brace some of it too, which led to Benoit's neck surgery, and which is what paralyzed Dynamite a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Your neck is also bracing it. So your brain, the back of your spine, is sending shingles, like, I don't know the scientific word, but you know what I'm saying. It's
Yeah.
it sends signals up to your brain constantly, and it's shaking your brain. It doesn't matter if you land directly in your head, but you're landing in your neck, which is shooting things up into your brain
Yeah.
constantly.
It,
Even
it, it.
talked about the dive outside the ring. I think that was another contributor to it.
Oh, yeah, because you're diving head first.
And I think this is why, like, a lot of people are like, "Oh, why did they get rid of the curb stomp? It's such a great move." But, and I even here, I just saw a move here. I'm watching CM Punk and him at Over the Limit 2012, which was my favorite Bryan match with him in the WWE. And he just took a forearm from Punk, and then his head bonked against the guardrail.
He went 110 every night.
Yeah, I mean. So, there's a lot of stuff you look at with head stuff now, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe like the pedigree is something they look at in the future when Seth comes back and be like, don't think we're gonna be using that pedigree anymore.
I think there's certain moves that are a little bit easier to protect. I think the pedigree, your forearms take a bit of it, but your neck and your head do.
Still, there's stuff I'm worried about. Like DDTs, I'm worried about now.
Yeah, now you see, and that's one thing now that's like, and this is one of the tweets that went back to Meltzer, and this is something I want to talk to you about, is Meltzer had talked about how Daniel Bryan will be instrumental in the change of the industry, and people don't even know it because it's still a few years away. But this retiring might really help can further that kickstart of maybe we need to be a little bit more careful with some of these things.
Well, let's be honest. I think you are totally. I think, unfortunately, the Benoit incident was the one that got it started, because Chris Nowitzki studied the brain, and it was something the WWE just couldn't ignore. Was that this guy had the brain of an I can't say that word, Alzheimer patient.
85-year-old Alzheimer's patient.
Yeah, and that he was just off his rocker.
Yeah.
And that's something I've talked to Turner a little bit. It's a discussion that we've had the last few days. Is we wonder if that's something O.J. Simpson maybe had.
Yeah.
And you and I had talked about the similarities between Benoit and Bryan, and so I'm hoping, like, even before this happened, it's kind of eerie. You know, when
Oh,
we
yeah.
first met, we kind of talked about, even when Bryan was still wrestling, like, man, he does a lot of trauma to his head. I hope he does. He has a lot of similar things to Benoit with the flying headbutt and the crossface, and he married someone in the industry. I hope things don't turn out that way.
Yeah.
And who knows what could have happened? You know, Daniel Bryan's one of the nicest guys. But Joel, you know who else I heard was one of the nicest guys in the industry?
Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit. So I think they caught it at the right time. And yeah, I don't want to ramble up too much. I want to let you get in your words too. So.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. I think that one of the things with this whole situation was they caught it early. And that's one of the things that he'd brought up. He wants to start a family, which was one of the better
Bree's
moments.
bringing that up in Total Divas all the time.
Yeah, and that was one of the better moments of his speech was when he
Yeah.
brought that. I think that's the first ever crowd chant. That's what she said.
That was pretty awesome. I mean, so here's the positive thing. You can still watch Daniel Bryan in WWE programming. You know where, Joel?
WWE Network.
Total Divas.
Oh, God.
That's the only place you'll be able to see Daniel Bryan now. New Daniel Bryan. I'm Total Divas.
Curses.
And it's crazy too because Daniel Bryan being on Total Divas created this whole second life for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had people today that it was on E! And people were like, Daniel Bryan from Total Divas. He wasn't known as Daniel Bryan, WWE star. To some people, he's just Daniel Bryan on Total Divas.
He's
He's
married to.
just like a random member of the Kardashians. I know you don't like to hear that, but that's what it is. He's just
No.
this reality star to some people, too.
Oh, no, and I totally get that. And I think that's why the Thank You, Daniel Bryan was trending worldwide today.
Yeah. Well, even my sister, she doesn't like really watching wrestling, but she watched Total Divas and she fell in love with Daniel Bryan. Our friend Paul hated Daniel Bryan. We still don't know the reason why, but he watched Total Divas, liked Bryan, because once you get to know the personality, and you watch the speech, it's entirely impossible to hate the guy.
Oh yeah, like his little plug, like this is my only little cheap plug. I cut my
Yeah.
hair, and everyone's just sitting there like you can't hate him.
That was very Mick Foley-ish.
Yeah. He
It's
does have a
like,
little bit of Mick Foley, but
yeah.
I think the one thing that he kind of said and kind of very much kind of made it justifiable was it was for a good cause and it's something that people can contribute to and help with. So
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's one of the He doesn't usually do a lot of cheap plugs, so.
No, I want to talk more about Brian. Really, really quick slide off of it. What do you think this means for Brie?
Oh, this is Brie is going to ride off into the sunset
So
eventually
I think
within.
she has her match against Charlotte, and then that's the end for her.
I think what we'll see is her take the title from Charlotte, retire.
Whoa.
And then we
Yeah.
have the title on the line at WrestleMania. Just and you'll have Brian appear on that show to, celebrate with her. 'Cause then that can be her last hurrah. And then her and Brian can ride
Yeah.
off into the sunset. And I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of guys don't get to do this. A lot of guys don't get to walk away or don't even or aren't even able to live to walk away.
No, I mean, we even saw it with Brett recently, a few years ago. Brett's never really had an actual retirement. I mean, in his late 50s, he wrestled The Miz for the United States Championship after he had a stroke.
Yeah.
Like, he's never really had a pure retirement. And Sting, maybe Sting's will come at the Hall of Fame. But now you got to wonder, too, because he has that spinal stenosis. He's in his 50s. You're just like, you know, selfishly, same with Brian. You're like, oh, I just want to see another Sting match because Nakamura's coming and these guys are coming and these guys are coming. I want to see it, just like you did with Brian. But at the same time, it's just like, these guys aren't characters in a video game. These are real life human beings.
They aren't dolls we can smash against each other. And when an arm falls off or a limb pops off, you just get the crazy glue. If it were that easy, Vince would be in heaven.
I will say that I like your idea for Brie, and I think Nikki coming back, which she will. Gotta feel bad for this family right now. You know, Cena has rotator cuff. Nikki is hurt, and now Brian has to retire. The whole Bella, whatever the real name is, family, just a lot of unfortunate injuries with that family. But what I was going to say is I do feel with Brie retiring, Nikki has gotten to a point where she can stand on her own.
Yeah, and I think she will be able to stand on her own. And I think Brie will still be part of Total Divas in a way.
Yeah.
But she'll be more kind of popping up, and that's when you kind of bump ratings, when you have Brie and Daniel Bryan show up.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. It just kind of opens up for that. I think a good feel-good moment for Brie. I could totally get behind it. You know, don't say it too often, but yeah, give Brie the title. Give a Bella a title and let her run with it for a couple minutes.
Brie mode!
As long as she doesn't come up to that music, then
I'm... You know she will. You know she will.
I know.
Okay, so there's a few things I had planned for this, but first of all, stay in the future for a second here. Is Brian going to the Hall of Fame this year?
No. I think Brian has enough power that if you need him to headline next year, he can do it.
I think I know who next year is.
Does he walk through Death Valley?
No, he does not.
Does he smell what people are cooking?
He does.
Okay.
I think you can't put him against Taker or Rock.
No, you can't.
But here's the thing too is, you know, those classes are getting a lot more shallower.
Yeah.
So you want to save headliners, but I don't know if you're going to save 4 years for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I think you kind of strike when the iron is hot, and this WrestleMania needs a draw.
Well, you probably could put him in the Hall of Fame, and you know who inducts him, Josh? I realized who inducts him.
So did I. Please tell us we're on the same page, please.
He's a big red monster.
Yes! Yep.
I'd love to hear...
I am the tag team champions!
I loved his, like, those little things that he had in the promo where he plugged the little people, like Regal and Kane.
It really seems that anybody that steps through with Glenn Jacobs says good things about Glenn Jacobs. And it's the one interview I've constantly told Joel, the one interview I want to talk to Jericho is Glenn Jacobs. Because we've even heard Taker have a one-on-one interview. We've never really heard Glenn Jacobs have a one-on-one interview.
No, and it to me would be so interesting. And like, you see little pictures of him and Brian together, and it's like two little kids running around causing mischief.
And yeah, I mean, who did Edge? He was one of the guys Edge thanked too.
Yeah, he just has as much as we crap on Kane, he has left a huge impression in that locker room.
Oh yeah, it's crazy because there's some guys too. You talk about the retirements. I think Glenn Jacobs deserves it, but mm-hmm. he won't get it.
No, he won't.
It's just it's unfortunate, but he won't get it. I think Paul White to a degree deserves one.
Yeah.
But he won't get it either. No. There's just, you get to a level and I don't know if you can get it or not.
Yeah, there's certain moments where you're kinda, it's hard to justify. Like, Brian deserved this.
Brian deserved it, Cena deserves it. And Jericho.
Jericho's never gonna get it though. And here's the reason why. Jericho's come out and said that he wants to be just carried off, kicking and screaming.
That's true. So who else is it left then?
I think it's
Taker.
Taker deserves like a whole Monday Night Raw of just Taker matches, stories on The Undertaker, and then that final, everyone get together, and he rides off into the sunset. That guy's been... God, if we think Daniel Bryan has a lot of concussions, I wonder how many he has.
Yeah, is there anyone else you can think of?
No, I think of active guys right now, I think...
I mean, we know the active guys that are legends there, like Mark, Kane, Big Show. Well, legend, some people may be a loose word, but those are three guys that have been long-term there. You would say, like, I think out of those three, I would say Glenn Jacobs has had the best career.
Yeah.
Because Big Show's turns have just kind of made him unnecessary. And how many great Big Show moments can you really think of?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
How many great Mark Henry, that one period Hall of Pain, undeniable, awesome.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic. But I mean,
Glenn Jacobs has just a stretch.
Oh yeah, like I still go back. I still go back and watch his moment with Hogan and The Rock, and him cutting that promo, or when him and his different tag team partners over the years. His run and beating Austin for the title in the first blood match.
Yeah.
The first time you introduced him. Glenn Jacobs Kane's done a lot in the industry.
He has. And I'm sure we'll get to him more. Let's get back to Brian now. When was the first time you ever heard of Daniel Bryan? What was the first match you ever saw Daniel Bryan have? Bryan Danielson, mind you, sorry.
Bryan Danielson. Well, I heard about him in ROH. I heard about a guy that was really good in ROH. And I was just kind of starting to get my feet wet in the indies more. Because I knew that's where Punk came from, but I didn't see a whole lot of Punk.
Yeah.
And then I think my first match with Bryan would be against Kenta. It was just a YouTube video. And just ended up watching and going, ooh, I like this guy. I remember when he first signed with WWE, and I was nervous. I was like, I know what happens when guys come here. They don't usually, I don't know. And then the whole announcement of him getting paired with The Miz, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. When did you first hear about this guy?
Ring of Honor. And he faced a little guy. Ring of Honor. We bought the pay-per-view. And he faced this guy, you may have heard of him, called Tyler Black.
He hasn't done anything relevant last year at all, did he?
No. And then I also watched him face Nigel McGuinness. And it was around this time, too, that Nigel and him, Brian, had been rumored to sign with the company. And at the time... Everyone loved Daniel Bryan. Man, it's going to be hard not to say Bryan, whatever. They loved him. He was great. But Nigel McGuinness, a lot of people thought he would be the guy.
Yep.
And, Nigel had some unfortunate medical situations.
Yep.
And Bryan got it, and the rest is history. But I just remember watching this guy down at Ring of Honor, and it was kind of the same buzz from him. There's been three, four indie guys that you just can't ignore over the past 10 or whatever years. The first indie guy that I couldn't ignore, if you want to say it was an indie, was Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
And a little bit Taz. But RVD, when the message boards started open, it was impossible to ignore the Rob Van Dam buzz.
Oh, yeah.
So then Rob Van Dam came there. And then you came into the 2000s and you heard a little bit of AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. But then there was a period there where, you'd hear about AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, but you would never hear more than about two guys, CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. And Bryan Danielson and him were just even keel level. People loved both of them. But people thought Punk would sign with WWE eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had the charisma, and he just had it. People never thought Bryan Danielson would go there. And I remember his first dark match when he signed with the company was against Chavo Guerrero. Huge pop.
Oh, yeah.
And great match for that dark match. I remember watching it on YouTube. And but then you heard, like, oh, he's going to get paired with The Miz. And at the time, let's not forget this, The Miz was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta give it to Vince. Even back then, I thought this is so smart of Vince. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so many people shitted on the idea and were like, man, what is Vince McMahon doing? Like, why is he putting Bryan with The Miz? And, I mean, that whole night was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Like, and here's the one thing. You go back and you watch, like, that was the only reason I watched that NXT, was because of Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this too, like, sorry, I swear I'll let you talk, Joel. I just keep on getting all these memories up. Me and my buddy had started watching FCW, and he had a match against Senshi, who I think, I can't remember what his name was in WWE, Caval.
Yeah.
And we had watched them in FCW, and he was having these knockout matches with everybody in FCW, but we kind of started falling in love with guys like Wade Barrett and, believe it or not, Ryan Reeves and Darren Young and all these guys. But yes, Bryan was the highlight of that. So when they all kind of came together for this form of NXT, I was actually very surprised that he was picked out of them. Yeah. Like, I thought like a Wade Barrett or a Darren Young. I thought maybe a Percy Watson or now Curtis Axel would be guys that came up there. I thought Bryan was just going to go right to the main roster. I didn't think he would be put into these goofy games and swinging around baseball bats around his head. I was really shocked by that.
Yeah, it definitely. You know, Vince likes his humbling. He likes to.
Yeah, we're seeing that with Kevin Owens right now.
But the biggest thing that came from NXT, there was a lot of things that you kind of look back and you go, ugh, God. But there was at least a couple promos from him that really stood out.
Tap or snap.
Yeah, tap or snap. And then the one where he's kind of promo on The Miz, and The Miz starts yelling at him. He's on stage, and he's like, you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me? And all you see is William Regal and CM Punk look at each other, and Punk holds his hand out, and he's like, and they're both nodding their head in agreement, like, yes, he is better than you. And it was just one of those little moments where you saw that the peers around him recognized.
Yeah. Now, I've seen a few people online that although Maddie didn't think Shawn Michaels.
You know, well, WWE, that creative Twitter account that's a parody, made a joke saying, well, no wonder Shawn Michaels doesn't have a wrestling school. 3 concussions in 5 months?
Yeah.
But, I
think it was more William Regal than Michaels, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think Regal played a very big role in his career. I think Michaels got the ball rolling and
I don't think Brian Kendrick's ever really thanked Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. So I definitely think that, like, it's very hard to thank everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I definitely see where some people are coming from, but at the same time, I think Regal probably played a bigger role.
Did you ever think that Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, okay, whatever, I'm going to say Daniel Bryan. I wanted to say Bryan Danielson, but it's just so ingrained into your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever think, Joel, that he would be in the WWE, or did you just think this was just an indie darling and that's all he was ever going to be?
I thought he would be in the WWE, and I thought that I didn't know how far he would go. I thought he's going to be an Intercontinental Champion.
You never would have thought main event of WrestleMania.
No, never would have thought that. No. And you really saw that in the first little bit of his career, where he was just that kind of that low-level guy that was there. But he was always entertaining. He always stood out. I think the biggest thing and what really started to draw fans in more and more was you could tell every night in and night out he was having fun.
Yeah.
Every time he was featured on TV, there were some moments where he wasn't featured on TV as much as we would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever think he'd be World Heavyweight Champion?
No. I thought maybe, okay, I never thought he'd be WWE Champion. Because at the time, some people, you know, may not remember this, 3 years ago, so maybe, I don't know, there was the two titles. Yeah. So it was the World Heavyweight Championship. And I thought anybody had a chance to be World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, that was the title that anyone could get. Especially,
that was kind of the buffer, in a way. I always kind of considered that the title to see, like, we're going to put this heavyweight championship on you to see if you can be a WWE champion.
Yeah.
But you'll be considered a world heavyweight, a world champion. I thought that was kind of the case for Christian, and same thing with Christian. You know, we talk about concussions. That's what ended Christian's career now, you know?
Yeah.
Now I kind of realized that today because you know how much Christian means to me.
Yeah.
Christian's one of my favorite guys. He's the reason I watched TNA.
Yeah.
Simple and plain. Christian's one of the reasons I went to watch TNA in 2005. He's the sole reason. And I kind of just stood back today, and he had a few tweets tonight. And I think it just kind of put everything in my head. It's like, wow, so Christian really is retired, and this is why. Like, you realize how serious these concussions are. And, you know, maybe Christian deserves a send-off in some way, but he never had the career that Edge had or Brian had. But you realize now, with a guy like Christian, and now with Brian, like, damn, these concussions are very serious.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that now we kind of sit there and we kind of think about it and we see it and we kind of, like, there was a lot of Daniel Bryan memories that started flooding up as you kind of think about today. It's kind of that you kind of go, holy crap, these concussions have really impacted all of our favorites in one way or another.
They have. I mean, even go back to his final night with the company, Punk had a concussion, and that was the reason. It's kind of funny in some – well, it's not funny, but it's just kind of crazy that if I believe it or not, like, obviously the cyst on the back was what was driving him nuts. But he had a concussion in the Royal Rumble, and he was mad with the company because he didn't think he was tested properly.
Yeah, and now Daniel Bryan, like, there were a lot of people mad, and there were those conspiracy theories. They're holding Bryan back because they don't want him to impact Roman.
I don't think that's the case. Like, no. I actually do, I have my conspiracy theory that I think he's going to wrestle, but I don't. I actually do think he is legitimately has concussion brain issues.
Yeah. And the best thing for him now, especially with if his brain's not that good, and his brain's not going to get better.
No, brains just don't heal like that.
No. So the way I look at it is you got to make everything count now because you just don't know when suddenly Alzheimer's or something like that's going to kick in. You got to really – I think that's why the family, being with Bree, is so important.
What is next for him though?
Well, from what I understand, I don't fully know what goes on in his life. Some things are better left private.
I have an idea because of Total Divas, but I'll let you go first.
I think he's going to be working with Bree on his new business, on their new business.
Yeah.
I think that's where he kind of goes from here. I think he's going to enjoy that weight is off of him, Josh.
Can he still teach, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think eventually one day he'll be down in NXT because William Regal will get him down there.
Yeah, because he could probably still take a bump or two. He just can't do a full match of bumps.
Yeah. And it's not like he's going to be taking a series of aggressive drop-you-on-your-head bumps.
No.
It's just going to be little things here and there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think he'd be a fantastic trainer. And guys in NXT would love to have him around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you kind of said, I think it'll be the box. It's kind of like that. You know, what's the nerd thing? The geek kind of thing where you get Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Where you get all the they kind of are doing something like that. Him and Brie.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and the Bellas have the gym they've opened. I mean, and if Nikki doesn't come back, she has her real estate license. So they have a lot of stuff going.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel probably going to be. He's probably just going to enjoy life. He seems like a very simple fellow. He doesn't need extravagant things, so he's just going to enjoy life. I think now at this point, because I don't know what it's like for someone to look at me and go, Joel, you can't go take pictures anymore. It's going to further harm your health. I don't know how I'd react to that. I don't know how I'd react to it when I finally had to go, that's it. That's done.
Yeah. Let's go back to some more memories here. The night after WrestleMania, after he lost to Sheamus, there's some things I specifically remember about that, but What some things you specifically remember about that night?
Oh, just the crowd. They turned, and they... And I remember him telling Daniel coming out afterwards and telling the audience that you probably forced them to make a shirt for me. And I'm actually wearing the shirt they were forced to make.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was, that really kickstarted it for him, didn't it?
It did. I remember it was the opening match. It was Mark Henry versus CM Punk. And the crowd, every time Punk did something right, they chanted yes. And Punk kind of got behind it and went with it.
Yeah.
And Mark knew what he was doing too. Because every time Mark did it, they chanted no. And it was crazy because that entire night, they never brought him out.
No. They kept him in the back. And that just made the crowd go crazier.
Yeah. And we kind of thought, it was funny because we thought a year later, we thought Fandango would have the same thing. And what derailed that?
Concussion.
So it's pretty crazy. All these concussions. And it's scary to see these guys they've taken out. I I wonder if Christian... 5 years ago, would still be wrestling, the same with Daniel Bryan now.
Yeah, that's one thing. Now you kind of sit there and you kind of go, man, times sure have changed. I just realized something, Josh.
Mm.
John Cena's never going to get a win back on Daniel Bryan.
Nope.
What, Bryan got the big win over Cena.
Was that your favorite match from him?
No. My favorite match involves a Punk from Chicago.
Over the Limit 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched that before we got on.
There's just something, like, when you see that, and now you look back on it, you're like, God, we were so spoiled.
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember friend of the pod, Chad Coughlin, and I, the day the Punk had his thing, there had been rumors that there was a possibility online, maybe it was just fan speculation, but remember the build-up before the WrestleMania, people were... In January. So they had those match with the Wyatts, right?
Yeah.
Bryan and Punk. And remember around January, the thought was, well, maybe Triple H and Punk are going to have their match. But some people were like, but maybe it'll be Bryan and Punk for the title. There was a little bit of buzz for that for WrestleMania for a bit, for the main event. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember hearing a little bit of that buzz and then that quickly.
And then it quickly evaporated and... If it wasn't for Punk leaving, it would have been Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Yep. And do we look back at Daniel Bryan's career the same way today? If he has that match versus Sheamus at WrestleMania?
No. That moment at WrestleMania, I think a lot of fans hold that really near and dear because that can never be taken away. Vince can never scrub that from people's memory.
I mean, I like to believe the cream always rises to the top, and I guess maybe the moment would have been SummerSlam if Punk stays around.
Yeah.
But you never know. I think, you know, Kanye West recently came out and told Wiz Khalifa that he owed everything to him. In some ways, and the one thing I hate about that whole thing, Joel, is that the WWE is like, oh, we planned this out all along. No, you didn't.
No.
That's 100% BS.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Punk leaving, Triple H... has an opponent, and Batista faces Randy Orton. Batista wins, and he goes has that belt in late night talk shows for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep,
that was the plan, and he deviated away, and in the same way, kind of pissed Batista off with the company.
Yeah, it definitely played a big role, but it was hard to like argue with. It's what the crowd wanted, and this is the first time in history that WWE was forced to change their plans.
Mm-hmm. For the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, and Vince never budges on that.
Let's talk about that Royal Rumble, too.
Yeah, his last Royal Rumble where he got eliminated right away?
No, the big one.
Oh.
The Bautista one.
Oh, the Bautista one,
CM Punk's last one.
Poor Ray. That's all that really comes to mind.
So, did you think he was going to come out?
There was a part of me that thought, okay, Bryan has to come out. They can't keep doing this to him. It makes sense for him to come out. Mm-hmm. Then when I saw number 30, I was like, not good. And it just proved to be not good at all.
I didn't think he was ever coming out.
Really?
No.
What made you think...
He had the match with Bray. Bray never came out, I don't believe.
Yeah?
And I thought that was just the program. His program was with the Wyatts. It wasn't to be in the Rumble. It seemed like... I will say this, though. That moment that I see the most, the moment that has been the retweeted and posted the most, even more than WrestleMania, is that moment on top of the cage.
Oh, God.
At that point, then, on that Raw, I was like, fuck, he's going to be in the Rumble. When it came to the actual show, and that match with Bray, too. People don't talk enough about that match with Bray the Rumble. Yeah. That was phenomenal. Maybe Bray's best match in the company.
Oh, yeah. Brian got one of Roman's best matches out of him.
That Fastlane last year, yeah. At that moment, I thought he had it, but when he got to the Rumble, there was just something like, nah, he's not going to come out. But I guess, too, when the chance started going a little bit, it was hard to think that he wasn't going to come out, because you're just like, they have to just throw him out there. Like, we really need jobber number, like, we really need, no disrespect, we really need R-Truth out right now.
Yeah.
But, like, here's the thing in that. They, in a way, preserved him, because what's going to happen if they change their plan and put him in for an R-Truth or a Miz? He's going to get thrown out, because they're not going to change the... He has to come in the ring and has to tell Batista, I'm winning the match now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that... If you could have done that.
No, and I don't think that would have gone over well with...
No, with Dave, no.
Yeah, so you got to kind of stay the course with the Rumble, but... Like, everything leading up to that... Just that feud with Bray really kind of solidified him as a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought they were turning him heel. Like, when they were in Calgary a few months before that show,
mm-hmm.
like, everyone was doing the yes chance, but you got that hint that Team Hell No was going to break and Brian was going to turn heel, and I was terrified of him turning heel. I was like, just keep him a babyface. Just keep him a babyface. It's going so well. Don't change him. And lo and behold... Fast forward less than a year later, he's at WrestleMania.
That was an honor to see him live. I saw him live twice. I saw him just after SummerSlam. When was the Summer of Punk? So 2002. No, when did...
2011.
So yeah, it was just after Kevin Nash attacked Punk. And so Brian was on Superstars that night. He wasn't really... He was kind of floundering a little bit at that point.
Yeah.
But he came out, and I was like, oh, cool, Daniel Bryan. And he had a great match on Superstars. And then, like you said, that Raw that we got to see when he faced the Shield. One of the best, if not the best, live match I've ever seen.
Oh,
that match just meant a lot to me, just watching that. I was five beers in, so that always makes everything better as well. But,
oh, yeah.
I looked at, again, Chad, my friend that I was with there, and I was just like, we're just both like, man, this guy is... He's so good.
Oh, yeah. And the crowd was solid behind him the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
From start to finish, it was yes, yes. My arms got tired.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just cool to see that he'd gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you kind of see that and you're kind of like, wow, this guy's... Now, I got a question for you. Let's play the hypothetical game.
Let's play it. The what if, which is kind of a future podcast, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. Say Brian never lost his title. Like, say he never had the nerve injury when he won the title.
Right.
Say he didn't get that concussion, and say he was carrying, just based on the reaction that he got every time he'd pop up periodically, do you think he was getting close to an Austin level of popularity?
Oh, yeah, he was there. I thought you said, was he going to carry me the title? Because the plan had been... Remember, he was even supposed to drop that title to Batista the next pay-per-view, and that's why they did the triple threat with the Shield. So Batista constantly got screwed over by Daniel Bryan.
In a small... Yeah, no, he definitely got screwed by Daniel
Bryan. Yeah, because the title kind of got put up in the air, and then Batista was like, screw it, I'm done, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm going back to Guardians of the Galaxy, and Guardians of the Galaxy did really well.
Yeah, he had the Austin level. He had an Austin level. There's a few people that have had... He had a contained Austin level. As far as Austin pops, ones that come to mind is the Dolph Ziggler cash-in.
Yep.
Punk had a few of them near the end and kind of during the reign there. I think I would argue, let's say Daniel Bryan's off TV for 2 years and Punk's off as long as he is. One of those two comes in randomly and no one sees it coming. Punk is getting the bigger reaction to me.
I totally agree with you. I think that Punk, because Punk doesn't have that concussion label or that label of retired.
Mm-mm.
He's merely moved on to other things. So Punk can come back and wrestle. Bryan, to a lot of people, is done.
See, in a way, I was talking to a friend about this today, and it kind of makes sense. So when we grew up in high school, all I did, not Joel, because he was a baby at this point.
Yeah.
When I grew up, junior high, high school, you know, the West Coast, East Coast beef was going on, and you either pick Biggie or Tupac. You could still like both. You knew both were great, but you needed to pick if you were a Tupac guy or if you were a Biggie guy.
Yeah.
And I went with Tupac. And this, in some ways, you had to pick. Were you a Daniel Bryan guy or were you a CM Punk guy? And you may be on the same level. Like, for me, it was pretty close, but I was a CM Punk guy.
Yeah, I will admit, I am more...
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's when I watched this tonight, I'm like... The entire time I was like, man, I wish that Punk could have had this and then gone to UFC. But at the same time, you can't help but be misty-eyed because he's... Even if you pick different sides, my point is that Bryan is such a just a down-to-earth human being that it's hard not to like him. And I think this is something I kind of want to hit on when we do our old wrestling podcast, but it's something that I think that Roman Reigns can't connect with. He doesn't seem like anyone you can just sit down and have a beer with.
Yeah, Bryan's someone you could harvest vegetables with.
Yeah.
And drink skim milk.
Yeah.
No problem. And, like, man, for a
speaking
guy...
of which, speaking of milk, we're never going to get to see Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan. It's officially dead, Joel.
It is.
The two Kurt Dream matches that he always wanted, he's never going to get.
Yeah.
Bret and Daniel Bryan.
Concussions would end Bret Hart's career.
Yep. That's kind of crazy. They really that was such a bad concussion back then. They had to notice it, like the way that Bryan's is. I still don't think they would have been as hard on noticing it. That's kind of crazy to notice a concussion back in what 2001.
Yeah, 2001.
And that's when they're kind of what concussion's based on. That's when they're starting to kind of learn concussion. But CTE wasn't really known yet.
No,
and I don't think Bryan has CTE. I think he's pretty damn close though.
No, I think he's would have been a few more bumps away from getting to that. And that's scary to think about because we've seen what CTE does. Like, I was reading about, Johnny Manziel a little bit, and I really believe he probably has that. The more I hear about just his outburst of anger and his recklessness, it just seems
I also think he's an immature prick.
Well, and there's that too. You combine that with head trauma.
Here's the difference, though. Here's the difference. Johnny Manziel's going to play football next year.
Yep.
He's going to probably play football. And you know who he's going to play football for?
Who?
The same team that hired a man that threw his girlfriend onto a pile of guns. The Dallas Cowboys.
Keep those Cowboys.
Yep.
At least now with Bryan, we don't have to sit there. We don't have to sit there and wonder.
Worry, yeah, yeah. I gotta say, you know, we talk. You know, I love to do the Vince McMahon voice, yeah. But the embrace that he had and Vince's face on the network special,
yeah.
You know, we make fun of Vince a lot and how anomaly is. I saw genuine respect, care. Proud, all those emotions through Vince McMahon's eyes and his body language.
Oh yeah, like you could just tell that this isn't something that he wanted necessarily. But
oh no, it was so much. He's throwing away money.
Yep,
he had his biggest draw in the company in the longest time, and you know we always talk about those years in WWE. Kind of like in 1993 to 96 when it was like, the Lex Luthers and Bam Bam Bigelows and they're trying to find a star and they can't. It was kind of like that from like 2005 to 2009, you know. Yeah, you got to see a Punk out of that, but...
And you got a Cena.
Yeah, well, Cena, 2002 for me. But you had, what I'm trying to say is you had the MVPs and the Kennedys and the Chris Masters and the Carlitos and
trying
the Morrisons.
Trying to find their spot within the company.
And the Lashleys, and none of them really hit.
But this small little guy with a beard.
Yeah. He hit. He hit really hard. And it's really the ultimate underdog story. And now the baton gets carried on and to AJ Styles, who, again, it's like... Brian, I think the hardest thing for wrestling fans to swallow, Joel, is if this was just the roster 2 years ago, it would be hard. But it'd be like, well, this sucks. But now, it's like, well... Shit.
Nakamura,
AJ, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins and him have never had a one-on-one match, I don't believe.
I think him and Rollins did.
In WWE?
Yep.
As Seth Rollins?
Yep. I believe so.
I don't know if they did.
See, and that's... You're bumming me out now.
See, there's just... him and Samoa Joe, I just really wanted to see that out of all of them. And I really want to see him and Nakamura. And that's why part of me was coming open to be like, we're going to give you the one match, one more match against Nakamura, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it. You get the match versus Nakamura. That's it. I mean, I wanted to see him and Hideo again. I wanted to see him and Balor. They've never wrestled.
They did.
Did they?
Yep.
Finn good.
Tweeted out a picture of him and Brian shaking hands as they were in a wrestling ring. So
that must have been when he got cut, maybe.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that really quickly because we kind of go all over the place. So Brian, the Nexus came out, did their thing. Brian choked Justin Roberts. And then the next night he was fired. What went through your mind at that point?
I was bummed. I was like, what? No. No, can't you just give him slap his wrist and tell him don't do that again, please. And I'd heard some rumors. I found a way to watch SummerSlam that year solely because I was like, I hadn't read any dirt sheets or anything that told me. I was like, Daniel Bryan's got to be there. There's a possibility Daniel Bryan will be at SummerSlam. I've got to watch it just to kind of see. And then he showed up, and I was quite happy.
See, for me, I actually kind of left wrestling for a bit at that point.
Yeah.
But I was kind of casually watching it. And, you know, I'd heard that he had left. But it's the weirdest thing, Joel. I never took it serious. I always just thought he'd end up back. I just thought it was like, we have to cut you. I thought it was kind of like the Finlay thing in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, listen, you fucked up. We have to let you go. But... You'll come back. So go do your little thing on the indies, and then come back. And that's I knew it was just that because he was only gone for 4 months.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will admit that when I did see him, I was pretty shocked, and it made so much sense thinking it was going to be the Miz. This is when the Miz was the most over he was, and then to bring Brian in, and then him and Miz had some nice little matches.
Yeah, and Miz, I think Miz played an important role in his career in WWE.
Yes.
And a lot of fans, no way. Miz, and I think genuinely they're friends.
I think yes.
Because there's that, they both helped each other in a lot of ways.
Coach-player mentality. I think Brian has helped Miz get a little bit better in the ring. And we talked about Miz on our last podcast. Going like, I think Miz has been greatly improved. We'll talk more about Miz in our all-wrestling show.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys, too, that I don't have a top of the list to put Brian in the Hall of Fame, but I could see as a candidate.
Yep.
You know who will be, Joel, actually? It'll be Regal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be Regal. It'll be Regal, Brie, or Kane.
Yeah.
But I'd probably say it's Regal or Brie.
I really want that Glenn Jacobs speech.
Yeah. It'll probably be Regal, though.
Yeah.
Because they get to pick it.
Yeah, and Brian's gonna pick one of those.
Because Warrior picked Linda, which still is the weirdest one.
Oh, Ultimate Warrior. Man.
It was really classy to see that Dana Warrior tweeted out the congratulations as well.
Man, there were two moments during that Brian speech that really tugged at your heartstrings, and that's when he brought up his dad.
Yeah, that one, I think it's hard not to get emotional with that.
It tugged, and knowing that, like, because I watched that ceremony last night again. I went back and I watched it. It was
awesome. Favorite part is CM Punk smirking in the corner. Little asshole.
And Brian was just having a ball. And didn't
Mark kind of started getting things going, too, and so did Ray.
Yeah.
Him and Mark and Ray were starting to get things going, and Hunter kind of had these dead eyes of Mark and Ray.
Man, and Brian brought it up in the speech today where that moment really, they took over Raw. They were having none of that championship ceremony. And I told you last night, and I'll say it on the podcast, that was one of John Cena's best promos because it was ad-libbed, and it really... Cena was, of course, mooching off some of the love that Brian was getting.
Cena's had the ability to always better almost Rock and Austin or the other people that I've seen have this level. When he's in the ring, he can get a sense of a crowd and do whatever he wants. He is the puppet master with that crowd.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even realize it. Even going to the point where Cena's like, maybe we'll do a little heel turn and moving his heel around.
Oh, yeah.
He's just the ultimate puppet master of doing that with the crowd. And that's the one thing that you didn't say that Brian maybe didn't have something. He didn't have that the way that his brother-in-law did. I know they're not brother-in-law, but it's the best way to equivalent whatever they are. I'm not going to say sister's boyfriend. Brother-in-law sounds better.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
No, I think I totally agree with you, but just that moment. And then when Brian brought up Connor.
Yeah, that got me too. I just think everything about it was just so genuine.
Yeah.
And it's 2016, geez. This is really the year of legends retiring, isn't it?
Yep.
We have Kobe Bryant retiring. We had Marshawn Lynch retiring. We had Calvin Johnson retiring. Probably going to have Peyton Manning retiring. We're probably going to have Jarmer Yager retiring. There's just all these big, big retirements.
Yep.
And you can add Daniel Bryan to it. And just being on ESPN, and it's the first time I've gone to the comment section and no one's talked shit about wrestling.
Nope. He's that type of person that you just genuinely, he's infectious. Like, he took you on an emotional roller coaster tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he took you from the highs to the lows to where he's starting to kind of choke up a little bit to where he's laughing and joking around. You're just like, this guy's real. This is a real life human being. And I can't help but relate to this guy. And you kind of go, man, for a guy that when and that's one of the things I look back at, I followed his whole career through WWE.
It's only a short one, too. It's only, 4 years, really, as a whole? 4 or 5 years? As a whole, four, really, as a whole.
Yeah.
Because he didn't really do much in 2015.
No.
So, and even really 2014, he didn't do much. So, really, 3.5 years, really.
And he was Austin level over.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if he'd done a full, say, 8 years?
It's hard. It's crazy to think. And I think that AJ took the baton.
Yeah.
And he has that role now.
Yeah. And I think there's one other guy that could have that Daniel Bryan role.
Is it Finn Balor?
No, it's some guy in NXT.
Yeah, it's Sammy.
Yeah. He's, I think, and even Meltzer had sent out a tweet saying that the similarities are very, very, very much there.
The only difference in why he's better, Sammy, is because he's Canadian.
Yeah. And man, I'm excited to see what I loved Kevin Owens' tweet tonight. That was good, where he was like, has hit the respect and admiration he has for Brian is not measured, can't be measured. And he thanked him for all the times that he helped him and Generico out. Mm. Never mentioned Sammy. Just mentioned this guy named El Generico.
By the way, I loved all the Dolph stuff today.
Yeah.
And they had this match. I can't remember when it was. But I think that was the first real, like, holy shit, Daniel Bryan's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
That if you weren't a WWE fan and you watched that, it was one of the few, like, when Dolph was being the showstopper.
Yeah.
And they put on this match. I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but it was near the end of, I think, 2011. It was the same. It was the same time that Brock lost his last UFC fight and called out Taker. It was around then, but him and Dolph had, you know, the match I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Him and Dolph had this match that was just like, this is amazing. Like, it just kind of kicked you in the ass, and you did not expect it.
Yeah, man. And to think, Bryan, the last image of Daniel Bryan on a pay per view is WrestleMania 31, headbutting Dolph Ziggler off the ladder.
Yeah. Maybe he regrets one. You wonder if he misses one of those headbutts. Is that any different?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy now. You look at that, and I think whenever you look at that WrestleMania and you see those headbutts, you're going to see them completely different.
Oh, yeah. We will go back and watch plenty of Daniel Bryan matches. That's probably what I'm going to do tonight. There are going to be moments where you're going to cringe and go, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
It's kind of crazy to me. We kind of bounce back and forth with stuff here, but to think about concussions and the brain, and think about, you know, with football or even like a headbutt, it's like, you know what? Maybe pounding my head against something isn't the best. It took us how many decades, generations, centuries to figure out, like, you know, banging your head against something probably isn't great. Because there's only a certain amount of skull for this thick thing that controls all your central nerves and everything you have. It's really the everlasting battery. Well, your heart is kind of a battery too, but the motor, let's say the motor in your head.
You know what it is? It's like taking the hard drive for your computer and throwing against the wall. Okay, it still works. Then picking up and throwing it against a wall again. Okay, it still works. Throwing against the wall again. Oh, okay, the picture's kind of breaking up a little bit, but it's still okay.
It's still okay. I'll take it for another run. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think we're getting near the end here, unfortunately.
This will not be the last time we talk about Daniel Bryan on this podcast, I don't
think. No. In some ways, it kind of reminds me of with Punk, where it was just like, even like after the Colt podcast, we still talked about him, and then eventually not at all.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, with UFC, it's picked up again. What do you think his role will be in WWE on television ever again? Just sporadic legend?
Yeah, it'll be that guy that we'll remember, that really good career cut short. He'll pop in, he'll talk a little bit. We'll get a yes chant, because that yes chant's not going away. It is the what of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll keep going, and I think we'll see him. I think we see a Best of Daniel Bryan DVD sooner rather than later, because you've got to throw in some of his matches and just kind of like do a real look back at what this guy did. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a network special. And I gotta say, I kept looking at my clock going, okay, Vince has got to wrap him up.
Yeah, I was surprised. So, you know, like everyone that listens knows, I don't watch the shows live. I watch them on a PVR. And I've actually had a few people talk to me tonight, and they didn't tape the overrun, so they didn't get it. So I think there's going to be a few people angry about that.
Yeah.
Because that New Day match went really right to the brink. And I was like, oh, it's 8:57 Mountain Time. He's going to talk for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Because the overrun is normally 5 minutes, I believe. Four, it's five, 10 minutes? 15 minutes. If you wanted to watch whatever episode of was on USA afterwards, you were out of luck.
I don't think, and even Meltzer had sent out a tweet, even if you're not a wrestling fan, tune into USA, because you're going to see something.
Absolutely. Like I said, it was one of the leading stories on ESPN tonight.
It was a real emotional story that had tangible elements that people could sit there and grab hold of. And for wrestling fans like you and me, that got to see all of Daniel Bryan's WWE career, it meant something a little bit more to us. And the guys that followed him through ROH, and now to the end, it's like, wow.
One other match I want to talk about with him, I just want to throw some random memories out here. It's kind of a crossfire, and then we'll wrap up, Joel. So let's just throw some random matches up and just talk about them. So one match that I was back and looking at today that, like a lot of people haven't talked about, is his match on Raw against Cesaro.
Oh.
That was just, that was one of those moments where, like I said, I normally PVR at Raw, and I always told you, like, sometimes I just got to skip through these matches because I'm not going to remember them. Yeah. But there's sometimes I see a match, like a few weeks ago with Styles and Jericho, I was like, yep, I'm watching that. And it was one of these, like, well, Brian Cesaro, yep, I am watching that. And did not disappoint.
No. God, anytime you put the two of those in the ring, you're like, I'm good, I'm good. Do you realize that that whole AJ kissing Daniel Bryan and kissing CM Punk and kissing Kane, Kane's the only active one out of all of them?
That's crazy.
Who would have guessed that? If you told me that while that was going on, I would have laughed at you.
I would have said that Bryan would have been the last one, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Bryan would have been the last one standing.
Because I would have thought the Punk would have either got into like a comic book movie or wrote comics or done something to get himself in trouble.
Yeah, he would have done something eventually, but...
It's kind of funny, you know, keep on talking about CM Punk, and there's one name you... there you go. You keep on talking about Daniel Bryan, and they'll never mention on TV, but there's one person in WWE to you and I, and you say Daniel Bryan, the other name... It's really CM Punk.
Yeah, it's CM Punk, and it's AJ Lee. They were tied together.
Yeah,
I love that
poster they had on the railroad tracks.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that.
That was one of the few, because you have these wrestling posters and they're always so like forgettable now.
Yeah,
I thought the Rumble recently was good. Fastlane's so stupid; it has the three of them with Eva Marie on it. Who cares? That one was one of those ones, like, that's actually a really good poster.
Yeah, it was funny, and you kind of see them sitting there in the mustache, and even the promo for it where they were acting it out was...
Yeah, it had, like, the Charlie Chaplin kind of vibe.
Yeah. What else from good old D. Bryan? Like, I loved... Like, he'd have little bits of humor that would pop it, like...
Dr. Shelby?
I don't think we can talk about Team Hell No enough.
No.
I thought they were going to be train wrecks. I watched them like...
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I am the tag team champions! No! I am the tag team champions!
And it speaks to both of them. They made that work. And it got over, too.
And you know what? How about Michael Cole? I hated him for the longest time because when Bryan came in, he was calling him a geek, a loser. He needed nothing to help Daniel Bryan get over.
Yeah.
And he continually pushed himself and got himself over, despite terrible commentary from Michael Cole.
Yep. And Michael Cole was this heel commentator that only liked certain people, and was just... He was especially harsh on Bryan, partly because of who's in his earpiece.
Mm-hmm.
But Bryan was the guy, is the ultimate underdog that, no matter what brick wall you put in front of him, he's like, I'm just gonna go this way. Okay, see you guys. I'm gonna sell you some t-shirts.
The stuff for the Wyatts, obviously.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. It's funny with a guy that really had a four-year career with one company.
Yeah,
how great it was. And you know, Joel and I obviously wish we saw more of him in Reign of Honor and on the independents. We just didn't. And I think that's... It was kind of the dawn of YouTube really starting. So you started to get it, but it was still, you had to get those Ring of Honor tapes.
Yeah.
They never really had a show on, and pay-per-views were so hard, and the streaming would always go down.
Yeah.
So it was really hard. I'd love to gauge a lot more Ring of Honor stuff. Like I said, the stuff with Tyler Black I thought was great. He did some great stuff with Nigel. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously faced AJ Styles in Ring of Honor. Great. He has faced Samoa Joe, which was great. So he's had a great career off the indies, but I think it's kind of what the storyline with AJ Styles is. It doesn't matter what you do unless you have that impact in WWE. Even look at a guy like Sting. Everything he did in NWA and WCW, terrific. But still, one of the things that we're going to remember the most about Sting is that match with Hunter and the match with Seth Rollins.
Yep. And now you look at Daniel Bryan, And I think now here's the final question for you. Well, not the final question, but a big question. Mm-hmm. Is he a Dave Meltzer Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I
He has a lot of the credentials you need.
Yeah.
He's been a world champion all over the world. He made a mark in Japan. He made a mark on the independents, in the third or second biggest independent, wherever you want to place TNA and ROH. Although I've heard TNA's been a lot better lately. Wrestling podcast. And he made a mark in WWE. He won tag team championships, United States championships, Intercontinental, both world titles, and a Money in the Bank.
Yep, and he main evented WrestleMania 30.
And, he had one of the biggest of main events. So we just had Super Bowl 50, and they showed a whole of memories, and they did this really cool thing with the MVPs over the year. When we look back at WrestleMania 50, I was talking with Paul about this. You're going to look back at the best moments, and you're going to see Rock and Hogan.
Yep.
And you're going to see Stone Cold, and you're going to see
Taker and Michaels.
Yeah, you're going to see all this stuff. You're going to see that Daniel Bryan moment in there.
Yep.
You won't see what was my favorite WrestleMania moment in there, but we won't talk about that.
That featured Stevie Richards, didn't it?
Yeah, Stevie Richards and the Blue Meanie doing a handshake at the end.
Yeah, sounds about right for WrestleMania 20.
Yep, Stevie Richards versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Good times.
Good times. But my point is that's you're just going to remember. And, you know, I would even say that that's when I've had the most casual fans come over to watch a WrestleMania. I've never had more casual fans more interested than that WrestleMania, actually, Joel.
Daniel Bryan.
Because they're like, I've had our Devin, who you know is not a wrestling fan at all. But he saw this guy and he was like, what is this guy and what's the deal and I need to watch this.
Yep.
And he was just engaged by him.
Daniel Bryan is a once-in-a-lifetime performer.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that.
It is. Is that it?
Yeah. I didn't think we'd ever... You know, in reality, I never thought we'd be doing this pod this soon.
No. He's 34 years old.
I didn't think WWE would budge. That was probably...
I think, you know, you and I had the really long talk about it last week. Because recently he had been cleared by the UCLA doctor. And he had been cleared by the Arizona Cardinals doctor, the same doctor that cleared Carson Palmer. And after those two, we were like, okay, he has to be cleared now because these are two professional athlete doctors. One does the college football team for UCLA, and he's taking care of young minds. And the other one cleared an MVP candidate from the NFL this year.
Yeah.
And you and I were sold on that point. And Dr. Maroon, obviously something different. But yeah. I think, you know, we had a lengthy talk. I don't think either one of us can say that we thought this was an outcome.
No, I didn't think. And you know what? It probably is the best outcome for everyone involved.
Like, we didn't even discuss it.
No.
We never even discussed retirement as a possible scenario.
And yet here we are.
Not once this year, any conversation did we ever discuss retirement as a situation.
I think the biggest thing was now here's a bit of a ramifications from this. If there was another test done by another doctor, and I believe I'd heard it was on Daniel Bryan's reactions, mm-hmm. like his reaction speed, and mm-hmm. it was not there at all. But that's just what I've heard. I don't know if I'm accurate or not. We'll wait and see. But if that is the case, then how does this reflect on the other doctors now?
Yeah, you gotta wonder. But I mean, we also, you know, I can't shake that Colt Cabana interview still to this day. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
We know what their concussion protocol is, running the ropes and all that kind of stuff. This Dr. Maroon, is that the same doctor?
I believe so.
Great. Because I take everything he does very seriously.
Yeah, and that's one thing now you kind of look at is, I think the biggest thing was this other doctor was the definitive nail in Bryan's...
Yeah, well, and this is what Meltzer said. He's like, UCLA can clear up... I think Randy Couture's doctor cleared him, too.
Yeah.
Was one of them. The Cardinals can clear him. The entire... Meltzer said it best. Every doctor in the NFL can clear him. It doesn't matter unless Dr. Maroon does.
Yeah, and it's probably every doctor in the NFL would clear him.
Yep, probably. But it's the NFL.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I read this quote somewhere that said that a guy that pretended to beat people up is forced to retire due to a concussion, but people playing a real sport, really hitting each other really hard, and he'd be cleared.
Well, how about this? Brian Hoyer, quarterback for the Texans. Guess how many concussions he had this year?
How many?
4 in 5 weeks. One in a game, and he came back out and played. Ew. There's been players that have lied about their concussions and haven't played. We saw a concussion even affected – he was held out, but a concussion affected what could have been the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about it this week. Antonio Brown was out because of a concussion. If Antonio Brown plays in that game against the Broncos, the Steelers probably beat the Broncos.
Yep.
It's not an NFL podcast in here, but – no, a concussion changed the entire events of the Super Bowl this year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's so many variables in sports. I don't want to get into that, but, you know.
And concussions have changed the direction of pro wrestling so many times now.
Who is someone you're worried about with concussions now?
Ziggler.
Yes, I was going to bring that name up, and everybody else has too.
Yeah. Ziggler would be a name that I would be worried about. Bray is someone that could potentially be the concussion victim. How did WWE clear Tommy Dreamer to compete?
I don't know.
That's my next question. How are some of these guys getting cleared when you're clearly they're not? They've had a few shots to the head.
Here's the question, and no one wants to hear. Do they care enough about Tommy Dreamer compared to Daniel Bryan?
See, and that's the thing. That was my first thought is, Tommy Dreamer's this person, Daniel Bryan's this person, and in the grand scheme of things, that's where Vince looks at.
How much money are they going to make off Tommy Dreamer? Very little.
Yeah.
How much money are they going to make off Daniel Bryan? Still so much. The thank you shirt is already up. There'll be action figures. He's going to be a legend in video games. He's going to have the Hall of Fame shirt. It's, you know...
Yep, it's definitely going to be. They can still make money off Daniel Bryan.
I would personally put him in this year.
It's kind of a slower class this year.
It's a slower class, and I think that if the leaked list that we had is true, it's kind of lackluster. By the way, one guy we didn't talk about enough, he didn't have a concussion, but it's kind of the same thing that happened to JBL.
Yeah.
He had back issues. It wasn't a concussion, but they pointed that out on the network. It's like he was forced to retire too. He didn't want to, and he had no choice, and he had to retire in his home state. And, you know, you mentioned another guy that I think should retire just because of too many injuries. This is Ray.
Yeah. There's talks of him coming back to WWE.
After Lucha?
Yeah. Because well, there's a dispute on them.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah. Save that for the wrestling podcast. We're going to maybe just do Daniel Bryan for a little bit and then do wrestling podcast, but just kind of spread it to what it is, and yeah.
Meh.
So, yeah, you know, I think we know the intro music for this one.
Yep.
And I think I know what we need to go out on, Joel. Yes.
Yes.
Enjoy the day, people.